Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus tells us that we are to build our lives on the solid foundation of him and his word. And so, as followers of Jesus, we do indeed seek to stand on Christ and the solid rock of everything that he has told us and taught us. But we also know that doing that is not always easy. We heard in our epistle reading this morning that we are called to grow in our knowledge of Christ and in our maturity in Christ. And Paul says that we are to do this so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. In other words, there will be winds and waves of false teaching trying to knock us off the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And yet part of what makes them especially dangerous is that they might not feel like wind and waves at all. They might instead feel much more like gently beckoning voices calling out to us. And their call might indeed at times seem very appealing. They'll tell you, for example, that you need to put yourself first. And who doesn't like to be told that? Now, of course, there is absolutely nothing like the way of Jesus Christ, who said that he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for us. But still, that message that we should put ourselves first can sound so appealing at times. And those same voices will also tell you many other things that can sound very appealing. They'll give you ways to justify or defend your sins. They'll tell you that the Christian values passed down to you are now outdated, so that you should no longer feel limited by them, and that anyone who says otherwise is simply being unloving. And they'll tell you that some subjects the Bible seems quite concerned about are really just too controversial and simply should not be brought up and spoken about. Those kinds of messages can be deceptively appealing, but as we're told in our epistle reading, they are deceitful schemes. They are schemes that tenderly invite us to build our lives on sinking sand, the sinking sand of this world and its ways, rather than the solid rock of Jesus Christ and his word. And that's why Christ calls us to recognize the importance and urgency of building our lives on him. And that's why Paul urges us to be built up in Christ and also to build one another up in Christ. As we heard in our epistle, that is the reason that we are called to speak the truth in love to one another. We are called to speak the truth so that the deceptive schemes, the lies and empty promises of this world will be exposed for what they are. And we are called to do that in love, not seeking to tear down our neighbors, but rather to help them build their lives on the only truly solid foundation, the Lord and his perfect word. That call to speak the truth in love applies to all parts of our life. And on the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we are reminded that one area in which this is especially important is the area of life issues. When discussing issues like abortion or euthanasia, which affects many people and which are deeply personal issues to many people, it is important that we as Christians speak the truth. And it is also important that we as Christians speak that truth in love. Sometimes people err by not speaking the truth about the sanctity of human life, by not clearly affirming that each human life is a precious gift from God to be welcomed and cared for. When a woman named Sarah was 37 years old, she unexpectedly became pregnant. This happened shortly after her husband had received radiation treatment for cancer, which meant that there was an increased risk of birth defects. Sarah's doctors advised her that carrying the child to term and raising the child would likely be very hard on her and her family. And so her doctors suggested that she have an abortion. Sarah was not comfortable with that, so she went to speak with her pastor, hoping that he would affirm her desire to keep her child. Writing later about her experience, she said, "I really wanted this baby, and I wanted someone on my side." Her pastor suggested that she follow the doctor's advice and have an abortion. She then spoke with another pastor from her church, and he too suggested that she follow her doctor's advice and have an abortion. Now, Sarah was not at all comfortable with what she was doing, but she did follow the advice that she was given. Going against her God-given conscience, she had an abortion. Sarah's pastors had had the opportunity to speak to her about the child in her womb as a gift from God, as a masterpiece of God's creation that he was lovingly knitting together in her womb, as a child whom Jesus loved enough to give his life for, as a person whom God wanted to be brought up in his love. That is the truth of what God's word says about human life, including Sarah's baby. Sarah needed to hear that truth, and in her case, she also wanted very much to hear that truth. But the truth was not spoken to Sarah. Now, I'm sure her pastors thought that they were being loving. After all, they were offering advice that I'm sure they thought would make her life less difficult. Again, the deceitful schemes of this world really can seem so appealing. But withholding God's truth is never the right way to show someone your love. As our Lord says through Paul, we are indeed to speak in love, but to be truly loving, we need to be speaking the truth in love. For years after her abortion, Sarah suffered in silence, never forgetting what she had done, trying to tell herself that it was okay, but knowing in her heart that it wasn't. And 18 years later, when she realized that it was the time her child would have been graduated from high school, she could no longer keep it inside. She cried every day for months. And finally, she spoke about this with another pastor. And when she spoke with that pastor, he acknowledged that she wasn't crazy to be feeling the way that she was, but as she already knew in her heart, what she had done was indeed a sin. As her conscience had told her, it really was a deadly, serious sin. But what she now needed to know, and what he helped her to see, was that this was also a forgiven sin. It was a sin that Jesus, her Savior, had paid for on the cross in full. The pastor did not ignore the sin. He took Sarah to the cross of Jesus Christ so she could lay the burden of that sin down at his feet and know the release of receiving God's full forgiveness. He spoke the truth in love. And as a result, after 18 years of suffering and silence, Sarah at last found real comfort in God's love. And knowing that just like the rest of us repentant sinners, She had God's full forgiveness. She at last had the peace of knowing that in God's eyes, she was not Sarah, the woman who had an abortion. She was Sarah, God's beloved child. Withholding the truth in an attempt to be loving is not the right answer. Nor is it the right answer to speak the truth, but to do so without love. If a person were to speak the truth about abortion, if they were to affirm that every human life is valuable and deserving of care and protection, but were to do so in a way that showed only anger or self-righteousness, in a way that did not show love for both the child and the mother, that too would fall short of the call that we have been given to speak the truth in love. As we're told in 1 Corinthians, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. So even if you are equipped with all kinds of important facts about life issues, you're going to have a very difficult time influencing people with those facts if they don't think that you care about them. In most cases, they will not care how much you know, unless they also know how much you care. We need to speak the truth about the sanctity of human life, and we need to speak that truth in love. People need to know that every human life is the handiwork of God, who lovingly knit each of us together in our mother's womb. People need to know that God so loved each human life that he gave his only son for them, and that Christ so loved each person that he gave himself up for them on the cross. And people need to know that God wants each person who he created and redeemed to now find their life in him and to experience his saving love forever. He wants all the children he has formed to know him as their loving father and to know Christ as their savior and brother. And so we share that truth with others, speaking the truth in love, so that, like us, they can know a perfect father's perfect love. And also so they, in turn, can then also share that love with others, including any children whom they might be given. A little over 30 years ago, a woman named Pat gave birth to a newborn son. She and her husband were surprised to find that their son had Down syndrome. But they were beyond surprised, they were absolutely shocked, when the hospital staff then asked them whether they wanted the child to be fed, or whether they would prefer that the child simply be left alone so nature could take its course. Even worse, a pastor visited them in the hospital and told them that it would really be okay if they chose not to feed their baby. Thankfully, both mother and father loved the child and knew that God loved that child too, and they welcomed and embraced the child that God had given them. They would not abandon God's ways for the world's ways. They would not abandon God's truth for the world's lies and deceitful schemes. They knew that a Christian's responsibility to an innocent human life is always to care and never to kill. And they found another pastor who shared their love for the child and baptized him into God's family. Since that time, the child's father left his successful law practice and became a Lutheran pastor. And the child's mother, Pat, became a deaconess. Their son went on to graduate from high school, He has a job and works responsibly, works at Chick-fil-A, and he is a fine Christian man who knows the love of his Savior, Jesus Christ. The life of that family is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Thankfully, someone along the way had shared the truth of God's word with Pat and her husband. Now they're both taking the opportunity to do the same for others. And their son, too, would gladly tell you about Jesus' love for you. May we join them in speaking the truth in love, bringing the truth of God's word to the world for the life of the world. All glory, honor, and praise be to Christ Jesus, the Lord of life, our Savior, the solid rock on which we stand. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.